is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. And man, oh man, how'd you guys celebrate golf yesterday? I mean, were you glued to the television the whole day, Lance?
I did notice what Justin Rose did.
Yeah, you did. And Harold Varner III.
Yeah, that was the guy that really surprised me.
Why did he surprise you? Harold Varner III is a good player.
He's not a good putter.
His name is Harold Varner III. He's all about golf.
Yeah, you probably got a good short game, too, if you operate off of the third.
You think you got a good short game? That's what you think?
Yes.
Okay.
DL3, HV3, yes.
HV3, yeah. Yeah, HV3, yeah. So, absolutely. You know what? What a day. What a day for golf yesterday. Here in the city and around the world now. As we get it underway, I didn't take Colin Morikawa, which I should have done.
It came up yesterday, so our little media meeting with Lord Varus and Joffrey. We
that's, by the way, that's what? Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien for those of you at home. You had some beers with them. You had some wine, and you guys were, clicking your chalices.
Yeah, it was great. It was amazing. And anyway,
Lord,
so
Varus,
one of the things that came up was Easterby was talking about sports coming back, and you know, he said something that I agree with. We need positivity. Like,
was this one of the few things you agreed with, or was you said something I agreed with? That sounds like it's limited.
It's somewhat limited.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't agree with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he said, you know, we need positivity and some positive stuff to kind of uplift everyone right now, which I do agree with. He talked about it, but he also said that he saw a ton of people live tweeting golf on his feed, and he's like, everyone's talking about it. And it made me think that perfectly encapsulates how different people's timelines are going to be different. Like, on Jack Easterby's feed of people he follows, everyone's live tweeting golf. Dell, is that all you saw in your live feed yesterday? Was it just a nonstop cacophony of golf tweets?
Well, my feed is somewhat limited. I don't follow that many people. But no, I didn't see one live tweet about golf.
You didn't?
No.
Well, I follow PGA Tour on Instagram.
Amazingly enough, I do not follow PGA Tour.
See, because you should. Because you're going to get all kinds of great shots by guys. You're going to get some of those fun videos between, you know, the
fun?
Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas and those
fun?
Guys, the gang.
I did see one thing, but it wasn't on my timeline. I saw someone just pulled off the television a recording of someone saying that's a great effing shot, and Jim Nantz had to apologize. Well, with no fans and different audio, sometimes you're going to hear stuff like that. We apologize if you're offended.
That's how those caddies roll, I think.
It was a golfer.
It was a golfer that said it?
Yeah.
Well, so, hey. Oh, really? Because in the NBA and NFL, nobody ever drops an F-bomb.
That wasn't a criticism.
Hey, you know what? We're just regular guys.
That wasn't
there.
A criticism, okay? By the way. You're so defensive about golf. I'm just telling you. That's what I saw. That is the one item from yesterday that I saw. Jim Nantz had to go, this is a new world, pretty much.
So, by the way, I'm looking at a story here. There's a tech company that is aiming to fill Arrowhead with the roar of the crowd from fans at home, where you get an app on your phone and you can be in crowd noise.
They talked about it with Zoom. What they're doing is basically copying what the NFL did at the draft by having all those fans yell and scream.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that they did that. They must have known, because I'm sure some D picks, some people, you know, some people, you know what?
Oh,
I'm
it
saying?
Had to be pretty vetted. Oh,
I would imagine it had to be really
listen,
vetted.
Guys, we're going to let you on here, but we know where you live.
Yes. Yes. And each fan base is going to have to be picked selectively.
Where Roger was actually, I kept thinking these are pre.
Yeah.
The way they were clapping, I thought they were going to be, and it still could have been something where people were pre. Taped cheering for picks and stuff like that.
Did they have Saints fans behind them? Because I could see definitely double rods at him.
These are
Patriots fans. No,
these are good Patriots fans and good.
Yeah,
Patriots
right, fans. Right, right, right.
Dave Portnoy was not in the background.
No, he wasn't. He was. A matter of fact, he actually bid for something in an auction. He bid to watch a game with Roger Goodell or something. And then they said, no.
He didn't pass the background check.
Yeah, background check.
Yeah, they did a background check.
Because he'd been arrested? He'd been arrested at the NFL offices.
That might be an issue.
For sitting at the
at
building.
At the NFL offices, yeah.
Oh, you didn't pass our background check. Oh. You had an arrest within the last 6 years. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. So anyway, so you guys are all drinking and buddying it up, having beers. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, some of the media, not all of me, it seems like all of 610 was invited. Just one of us here at 97.5, and that was Lance.
Well, one from other outlets.
790, only got one.
Multiple Chronicle. People who covered them on a regular basis, who covered the team, they were all there. And then, members of 610, they're the flagship station. And then, Matt Thomas was there from 790. I was invited from here. They don't need to invite you. You're good. You're in, like, you're Team Texans.
I am Team Texans.
So they're good with you. Well, really?
Yeah. There weren't a bunch of Team Texans there?
There were some. I mean, there were some good, legitimate questions and stuff like that. It was, a lot of it's off the record, so I won't talk about specifics out of respect to being off the record. And this is not something. Charlie Cashley used to do this with us.
Well, we used to go to lunch with Daryl.
It's actually a smart move.
Yeah.
It's actually a very smart move by the Texans. But I think it's obvious Bill O'Brien wants to try to rebrand
a guy. Just like golf, like I said yesterday.
Yeah.
Common guys. Common guys.
Yeah, It's just a rebrand.
Did that come up?
No, that did not come up.
That didn't come up.
That didn't come up.
You mean that?
I can tell you this.
That Denver fan?
The tone of it was not to bring stuff up like that. Was not to bring stuff up like that. Because I think it was just like, hey guys, let's just have some beers together and just kick it. But I think that's like, I think there are people who have some legitimate grievances that if you brought it up, he was going to get defensive, and that was going to be that. That's my read on it. So I think that people, they did ask some questions, and Bill is genuine in certain things, and then there's other things I'm going to disagree philosophically with, and there's other things I think he and Jack are just completely disingenuous about. And I'll just leave it at that. I didn't come away from that meeting with any other. I've always thought Bill's a guy, he's kind of fun to talk to outside of season, probably not a lot of fun inside of season.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hothead. Nothing changed yesterday. An impulsive guy who is not. And I think, I think Jack has a tremendous amount of power there. And I still think Jack will outlast Bill O'Brien as a Texan. I think that's for certain.
Yeah.
Jack Easterby is certainly mysterious for enough people. Uh-huh. After that particular sit down, did anything he put across or say make you think that, he should be in the position he's in?
No, not at all. But to be fair to Jack, I think he's a good speaker. I think he has some knowledge.
Maybe he should take over for Cal when they need to make a speech then.
I think he has some knowledge in some different areas. I think Jack Easterby is a guy who.
Knowledge is power, though.
Knowledge is power. It's one of the things we've learned over the last 2 weeks.
Knowledge is power.
But I don't, like, Jack has no background or history in as a personnel guy, as a salary cap guy, as this, that, or the other. So he was lauded for knowing a lot of different things, and I think he's probably working hard. I think he takes it very seriously. I think Jack Easterby, my guess is he's always wanted a position like this. He didn't mention that he was going to get in with the Colts. He kind of kept that out. But when he was talking about his background and leaving New England, but he was going to go with Josh McDaniels to the Colts. And then that that obviously broke down. But I think Jack wants to get better at what he's doing. And I think he's a positive person who I think he wants to – I can say that he is the kind of – he and Bill talked about how, they're polar opposites. Bill's a beer-drinking guy who cusses and – Jack doesn't do either one of those things. There's a lot of fist bumps going on between the two. A lot of fist pounds. I'd say like 4 or 5. They're close. They're tight. But Jack Easterby is the kind of, I think he's an important, sounding board for him in the sense that he's not a hothead. And Bill O'Brien definitely needs somebody who's not a hothead. But, I mean, look, there's so many things I wanted to ask that I wasn't going to ask because it would have been met with – it would have – I don't know. I think Bill thinks I was mad going into that. I just had fundamental disagreements with personnel stuff. My stuff's not media related. So that didn't really fit in. Like, I don't have access to players' issues. I don't have any media stuff to talk about. Like, what can we do better to make your guys' jobs better?
How about better trades?
Yeah.
You should have said better trades?
We have fundamental disagreements, and one question was brought up about being universally panned across the NFL, the DeAndre Hopkins trade, and I don't think they like that assertion. And I think they feel very, very strongly that this was the best possible trade they could get. They did make an interesting point that I think is worth noting. It's that when you have, and I don't think any of this is this. I'm not sharing any off record stuff. This is good things for you guys to know. When you're going to do a deal where a guy is going to get potentially $20 million plus at a position, that's a lot of money to take up a cap. You probably need to have a quarterback who's on a rookie deal, because that's how you can afford it. Because quarterbacks are the ones who make all the money. So if you're going to pay somebody what would be, in essence, you know, quarterback money at another position, you need a quarterback who's on a rookie deal. So that limited the amount of teams that you could talk to about six teams for the Texans to talk to. So, but, you know, I had some questions.
Yeah, but DeAndre's got 3 years left on his deal with a collective bargaining agreement that won't let him hold out.
That was brought up, but I guess that's...
No, the collective bargaining agreement won't let him hold out. That's it.
I don't think the Texans saw it that way.
Well, oh.
I don't know.
Well, but that's what he...
Well, the Texans thought...
Collective bargaining agreement.
But the Texans knew DeAndre was... actually, they did acknowledge that he was outplaying his contract badly. And I think this is their way of saying, look, let him go get paid. Why should we keep him under less
because
money?
You've got him and you've got a great value.
You're doing the right thing by the player. What's wrong with that, John? Did they for Tunsil?
They did the best thing possible for Tunsil.
Was DeAndre happy with the trade?
This is what a joke.
What are we talking about? The Texans are just givers. They made the Dolphins the best deal possible.
Yeah.
Gave Tunsil the best deal possible.
They gave DeAndre Hopkins. They gave him
the best. They give everybody the best deal possible. Wait a minute.
The Seahawks got the best deal possible.
An unbelievable deal for the Seahawks.
I did bring up why give David Johnson money and then pay for part of Clowney's deal, but that was, I guess I was just mad. I was accused of being too mad there yesterday, so I don't know.
You are mad.
Hey, man, we're just having some beers.
Yeah. I'm mad at some of the deals. I don't think they're good at, they're not good at personnel. I mean, they're not good at personnel moves. And some of these aren't even just opinions, because I can recognize, like, we still have to see, I don't even have a fundamental beef with trading DeAndre Hopkins when you know you got to pay Tunsil and you got to, like, I don't even have fundamental beef with, and you know this, if guys aren't practicing, if they're not going to be ready to play a team, if Last Dance doesn't show you something about a willingness to be the best, I do think that practice habits matter. That's me. I understand people diminish that. I think it's important and if you're in a leadership role that you show that you're willing to bust your ass. So I don't have a problem with all that stuff. But I personally don't believe they got the best deal possible. I definitely don't think you should have taken on the money for you could have. I don't think you should have taken on the money for
David Johnson.
David Johnson. I think you can find running backs in the draft or just through free agency. This is Raheem Mostert from San Francisco is a great example of that last year. But we've got examples all over the place. So we're going to have some fundamental disagreements on how you do certain things philosophically. But there are other things that I'm talking about. People around the league. I'm talking about. From cap guys that I've talked to personnel guys, to GMs, who just fundamentally think the Texans don't know what they're doing. None of that's going to change for me with a little talk. I didn't come out of there thinking any other thing. I mean, you got some people just super excited about every word being said, and they're just happy to be there.
Did they yuck it up? Did you guys all yuck it up?
There was some yucking it up.
Oh, that's great.
I wasn't really yucking it up, but
you're mad. But you were mad.
Yeah, you're mad. You can't be trusted.
There was some yucking
it up. How can you yuck it up if you're mad?
There's something weird.
I wanted to have personnel conversations.
What is the context of the fist bumps? Like, when they thought they said something funny, they gave each other fist bumps, or they thought they made a great point?
Each other.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny. I think it was funny.
Oh, Jack. Good one. And then they gave each other fist bumps?
Yeah.
Jack, you know what? Jack seems like he could be a funny guy.
I don't know.
Do you think he's telling, like Lucifer jokes and stuff? Or
no.
He's not?
I definitely don't think that.
I don't know. I think they can yuck it up about Lucifer.
But OB claims he doesn't hear anything on the radio at all.
Okay.
Nothing.
I feel like Jack used to be jokes. Would be like, you know what they call Devil's Brand food?
What?
Cake?
See, Devil's that's what food. I'm saying. Devil, like, there's a Lucifer joke right there.
Devil's
for you.
Food cake on the streets? Lucifer.
715 ESPN 97.5.
What's the difference between Devil's food cake?
I wish you could.
What's the difference between Devil's food cake and Angel's food cake? Like, I like this.
Jack's got something.
Oh, 716 ESPN 97.5. Right. What's the difference between Chastain Ford and all the other Ford dealers?
What, John?
A bunch. Service, for one. And listen, their service department is awesome. And, oh, by the way, I have any issues, which I haven't. I've got a wonderful car, so I haven't had any issues whatsoever. But, you know, they're like, hey, if you want to come in, get the oil change. We'll get you in and out. We're going to do all that. We'll pick up the car for you. Well, because, you know what, during these times, we will come pick up the car. We will do whatever it takes to that car to get it fixed, and then we will drive it back to you. Okay, that's the kind of service that you're talking about. That's the kind of family atmosphere that you're talking about. You'll probably meet Patrick. Or Joe, but you will definitely feel like you're a part of a family there. It is this is one of the best dealerships. They're so family oriented, and so it just seems like you're in a with a bunch of small town people, yet in the huge city and doing more commercial business than anybody in this city in Ford truck dealership. So if you're looking for that kind of feel, and yet the best prices as well, with 84 months, no interest payments and nothing down, 6 months, no payments, all you got to do is get to Chastain Ford. ChastainFord.com. See for yourself. You will love doing business and being part of the Chastain family on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Chastain Ford.
Gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. This is right, okay? Chuck, tell him. Hey, Chuck, what's going on?
Oh, man, not much. I just would like to know how John and Dell feel about, you know, Lance basically selling his soul first to the NFL, now to the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
John, I guess you ain't going to be the only one getting pizza.
You damn right. No, Lance gets beers, which is even better than pizza.
Well,
and so you see Lance, he not. Now all of a sudden the Texans, woo, love the trades. Woo-hoo, Billy boy, buddy. That's my buddy, Billy.
First of all, it was vodka tonic.
Yeah, and this will for you, certainly. And this would be more effective if we waited like 3 segments. We just heard Lance, and it wasn't like that at all.
No, that's a... Chuck, you're not doing it right.
You got to call in 20, 40 minutes later.
Yeah, like, when there's no
and then
context.
John can get that off, and people are like, wow, Lance is really in the bag for the Texans.
Yeah, I kind of wait till he says something positive, don't I?
Yeah.
He got a vodka tonic from him.
I got a vodka tonic. Oh, no, I ate their food as fast as I could before I was going to say
what kind of food they have?
Just a couple empanadas and a bacon-wrapped shrimp. And
Bacon-wrapped shrimp. Did I get bacon-wrapped shrimp? No.
Where was this?
Crappy pizza.
Armadillo Palace.
Okay.
Oh, you went to Armadillo?
Yeah. And then I got up in the middle of everything and went and got some chips and queso because I'm like, I'm getting my money's worth out of this, which is no money. But I said, let me get this in before I say too much more.
Yeah, before I get tossed.
So I think I got in trouble before I went and got the chips and queso. And then I left after a couple hours. They were still going, but I already knew I'm expected to stay in my place and, you know.
Yeah.
Stay in your place, be happy with the Texans, give them good coverage and stuff like that.
Well, be positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I think the Texans fundamentally.
When you get beer, pizza, bacon wrapped shrimp, then, okay,
empanadas.
You say nice things. Okay, be positive.
Look, I think the Texans fundamentally believe that they don't get fair treatment in the city. that they fundamentally believe that they're a good team and we treat them like total crap. And I mentioned this to Bill O'Brien yesterday in a separate conversation. I just mentioned that this is, I don't think it was taken well with the spirit that I was intending it, but this is a city. This isn't about necessarily Bill O'Brien, although I can say Bill O'Brien is the most, I think, disliked successful head coach in the history of the city, without question. And he's brought a lot of that on himself. His sound bites are his sound bites. He says stuff, does stuff. It's on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can't blame this stuff on us. And I think he realizes that, and that's one of the reasons he kind of wanted to get together. I think he wants to do better at that kind of stuff. But he's fundamentally a hothead, and it's not going to work. Like, it'll, in the short term, it might. It's just like when Buddy from East Mississippi Junior College, from you know, in year two, Buddy tried to really change.
Yeah.
He saw himself. And he's like, hey, guys, we're going to in Last Chance U. And Buddy was trying to do the right things. But eventually, you are who you are, and it will break down. And I think Bill is just a hothead. And I don't think he can control some of the outbursts or whatever. And that's, you know, he's the guy that will scream at Tom Brady, scream at Randy Moss he and Randy Moss will get in the stuff on the plane and all that stuff. So, but he fundamentally believes that he doesn't get, that the Texans don't get the same, like, that they probably deserve better treatment. And you know what I mean? I think he believes that. I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not.
I don't know. What do they deserve better treatment for? For being mediocre for 19 years now?
Well, so that's what I brought up to him. And once again, I don't want to share. I'm not going to share stuff that I consider to be too off the record. If it's off the record, I'm not sharing it at all. And this is a personal conversation.
No, if that's proprietary information, but this is not. Yeah.
I had a personal conversation with him, and out of respect to Bill O'Brien, I'm not going to share all of it. But I will say, I shared with him my opinion that this is about more than the Houston Texans. This is about your organization. Now he takes it. I think he takes that very personally because he is the Texans organization right now. But I said, before you even got there, there's Gary Kubiak, there's Dom Capers. This has been an organization for 17 years that can't get over the hump. I dropped the SOT on them, same old Texans.
Mm-hmm.
That's a phrase out there that it shows that this Texans team can't, you know, this organization never gets over the hump. They never get. And he doesn't even realize there's Oilers fans who had the same disappointments, only they went even a little bit further. But this is a citywide thing. It's a historical thing. And I tried to put that in context, that this fan base is – and then when the Astros went – and I don't think I said this to him, but when the Astros won, I think it made it worse for the Astros – I mean, for the Texans and the Rockets when the Astros won, because they showed the city how to do things and how to have a team that was lovable and all that stuff. And
you mean doing this, Lance? Doing that?
Okay. Was there a parade that you went to?
Because Bill O'Brien came from the Patriots. You would never cheat to win, okay?
I don't think he likes being associated with just the Patriot way, because that diminishes what he does if it's all Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
Well, listen, that's the only place he's had success, okay? He was at Georgia Tech and Duke, and
but he better associate himself. He's had success here.
Yeah, he's had some success. Limited success.
And that's, I think, his point is, why are you guys down so much? And I think it's a combination of two things. He was not going to listen to me yesterday, so it was pointless. The two things are the history of the organization for 17 years. It isn't getting. You can point to a division championship against a weak division here and there. Last year was better, you know. But really, it's just been a couple of blips on the radar screen for Texans fans. That's all it's been. I don't think he truly fully understands that life began. Life didn't begin at Bill O'Brien's tenure in 2014. Texans fans have been going through a certain mode for a long time. Nothing seems any different. And I tried to explain that, and I don't think it went over great, if I'm being perfectly honest. But that's the truth. That's just the truth. This is bigger than just you. This is the Texans, and it's the same old Texans all the time. And that's the frustration. Even when you win a division, you get your ass kicked in the playoffs. You win two games. One of them's against Connor Cook. He acknowledged the Connor Cook thing. He thinks it's kind of BS that people bring up, you know, the Connor Cook thing when it's not easy to win playoff games, period. That's fine. But I don't think that was really met with that was part of it. And the second thing is, he's not a likable guy. And it's not because it's his own doing. I mean, it's his own doing. And so I think he is trying to do better about changing his image and stuff like that. But when a smart ass like me comes in there, and I'm saying that's how they're going to view it, when somebody who is a malcontent, who's mad, who questions what the organization does, who thinks he knows more than the organization, even though he doesn't have the inside workings of the Texans, they're not going to be happy with me. They're not going to be happy with me. Now, I do more work. I take exception and took exception yesterday to this idea that I don't know what I'm talking about because I don't know about base year numbers and signing bonuses and stuff like that. I know more than Jack Easterby does. I can tell you this. I know more personnel. I know more about evaluating. I'll put myself up against Jack Easterby. And okay. I don't think I have any business being in a position of executive vice president of football. They have good people in that. But James Lipford is highly regarded in that building. Matt Bazergan is highly regarded. They should be in that position. But Jack is a right-hand man type of guy. So he is in that position.
Who's Jack Easterby? I thought he was Lord Varys.
Yeah.
So when does he get burnt up by a dragon again?
Lord Varys.
And when does Joffrey coming back? Yeah.
And somebody texted me, it's Littlefinger.
Joffrey.
I felt like Joffrey was actually, it's really, who was it? Who was the very first one that we met in season one?
You mean Robert Baratheon?
I was wondering if Billy is more more Baratheon than
I like Joffrey. I like the Joffrey.
You think he's more of a drunken lout who's not really good at what he does?
No, I don't say
that's
drunken.
Who Robert Baratheon was.
I don't
want to
say drunken, but the lout and the loud guy who's kind of. But Joffrey's the more like, I don't know which direction this one could go.
Joffrey's scary. Yeah, Joffrey could lop off your head or shoot you with arrows in his bedroom at any time.
No, I firmly believe Bill O'Brien is kind of a scary guy. Like he vanquishes his enemies. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any. I don't come away from there thinking any different. There's going to be some media guys who yucked it up who are going to come back with glowing reviews of just the good old conversation of just people drinking beer and all that stuff. But I have fundamental differences of opinion with how they did personnel stuff, and I might end up being wrong. So here's the difference. I can admit when I'm wrong. That organization can't. That organization is fundamentally unable to be humble. They can in the moment, but over the long term, it turns into anger and all that stuff and defensiveness. And that's what you're going to get the entire time from that organization is they can't just say, you know what? We blew it. We were wrong. Never heard them say it on anything, ever. Do you remember hearing that?
Oh, that's never happened. And never will happen.
You can't even ask about a play or a question about what happened. Like in press conferences, that's never going to work. Bill's not going to be okay with answering a question professionally like Gary Kubiak would when it's a hard question.
Did anybody bring up fake punt? Did anybody bring up fourth and one?
He brought it up. And he explained, you know, what his thought was. And I think he acknowledged yesterday that it was, you know, here's why I did it. And I think in his way, he acknowledged maybe it wasn't the right move. But I don't know that he actually said that. So I do think Bill O'Brien day two is different than Bill O'Brien after a game.
Yeah.
He does calm down. We see that.
Yeah.
We see that. That's fine. But, you know, you know what the soundbite is that people remember after the game? If you want to change your image, you're going to have to be professional. You know what? John, I got to do a better job than that.
Well, he says that all the time, though. No, we got to coach that better. We got to, you know, but he's saying it sarcastically because he doesn't want your question is not worthy of him. Yeah, we just got to do better. Yeah, we just
don't really care what you say.
Yeah,
well, it's a non-answer.
We just got to really. It's a non-answer.
It's just a non-answer. I'd love to if he wants to.
It's
change
dismissive,
his image,
is what it is.
If he wants to change his image, say, you know what? If we had it to, and I'm talking about after the game.
Yeah.
You know what? We tried to do this. We wanted to do this. You know, was it the right call? I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. This is why we were thinking that. But because you don't have to go full Gary Kubiak. That's on me with everything. But it would be nice if you want to change your image to answer a question without getting defensive, without having people on eggshells about asking certain questions because they know they're going to get blasted.
Well, but this
but
in fairness to him, it's awfully difficult right after a game because it's so emotional.
100%. And he is a highly, highly emotional
guy.
He's the most emotional coach we've had in
the
city.
Yes, without a doubt.
Without even
732 ESPN 97.5. Jeff Aaronoff is the. He's not very emotional. Actually, Jeff isn't very emotional at all. he's emotional about marble and granite. He's emotional about making sure that whatever job that he's doing is going to be done to the best of his ability, that it's going to look awesome, that when you it's all said and done, you know, he's going to come in and say, is this exactly what we, you know, we planned? First of all, you are going to plan it with him. You're going to pick the marble and tile and the granite and the countertops and the vanities and the outdoors, the stone that you're going to use perhaps in your outdoor kitchen or and when it's installed, is it exactly, you know, to the specifications that we talked about and all of those things. And Jeff Aronoff is going to get that job done. And he's been doing this for a long time now here in the city. And he's really, really good at it. And if you need somebody that's going to change your business, going to change your home, because you guys, you got to. Otherwise, you're going to lose the value of that home or that business. And you know what you need, if you got a business going and it's old and dilapidated, you got to upgrade. It's got to be done. So call Jeff Aronoff, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Tell him you heard it right here. Get 20% off at Absolute Marble and Granite.
Loaded and ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We got to move away from beer, but we'll get back to it as soon as
we need to.
I want to drink some beers with Bill O'Brien too someday. But I wasn't invited because I got pizza, so I guess I didn't need
what
to get beers.
About? You got the food without the
without having to get yelled at.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So
I wish it was a Zoom pizza they sent you, John. Here's pizza. Watch us eat it. This is for you though, Zoom.
So apparently there's some misconceptions about Alex Cora, guys.
What are they?
Well, there has been a narrative out there of what happened, said Alex Cora. Now, see, here's the deal. Now, Alex, since the Red Sox investigation has come out and there was no wrongdoing. Wow. Now watch Alex Cora come firing. And I am just, this is the, I wish.
Because nobody can counter it.
Nobody. Because it's already been adjudicated. He's been cleared.
Wait, but he wasn't cleared with the Astros.
No.
That's what he got.
But here's what he says. Okay. There's been a narrative out there of what happened. Ever since mid-November until the commissioner announced the results of the Red Sox investigation, I have read many things that are true and many others that are not. Out of this whole process, if there's one thing that I completely reject and disagree with, is people within the Astros organization singling me out, particularly Jeff Luhnow, as if I were the sole mastermind. The commissioner's report sort of explained in its own way what happened, but the Astros players have spoken up and refuted any allegations that I was solely responsible. If there's one thing I'm absolutely sure of, it is that it was not a two-man show. We all did it. And let me be very clear that I'm not denying my responsibility because we were all responsible. Well, AJ lost his job. Luhnow lost his job. The players had to be exonerated. They had to get immunity. Otherwise, you would not have gotten the true story. So, and listen, the Red Sox had the playbook. So once, hey, we ain't saying nothing. I don't care about immunity. I don't give a rat's ass. I ain't saying nothing because we don't want to be the Astros. So you got away with it, Alex Cora. You got away with it. And now you can start, well, wasn't just me over here. Mm-hmm. It was everybody. Yep. Everybody did. EAD, Alex Cora. EAD. You got away. You and the Red Sox got away with it. You should be banned from baseball for life. But the Red Sox had the playbook. And now you can, well, yeah, now look at me over here. I got to sit out and nobody else does.
Major League Baseball came in and told the Astros and Red Sox to cut it out. They came in and said, hey, enough with these shenanigans.
The Yankees and Red Sox.
You had the Yankees and Red Sox situation. Of course, that was... No. Was that? Yeah, that was before.
Well, you had the one with the Astros when they were playing the Red Sox, right? But you had the watches with the Red Sox and the Yankees.
What year was that again? I can't remember. That was 17.
That was 7. That was before. That was 16.
16. Yeah, 16. That was before. That was not. Right. That was the organization. It was not Cora. The Red Sox have skated off of this so easily.
He's going to get his job back with the Red Sox. He will be a Red Sox manager again. Yes, he will.
Why do you think that?
Yes, he will, because they're going to take him back.
How can you do
because he didn't do anything.
The Astros were not found to do anything in 19. Is AJ going to get his job back?
No.
Why? What's the difference?
No, well, AJ did it in 17.
And so did Alex.
Yeah, right.
There is
No, but he ain't.
But there's no difference.
AJ's not getting his job back.
But there's no difference, right?
No, there is a difference. As manager of the Red Sox, he didn't do anything. AJ did as manager of the Astros.
Both of them.
There's a big difference.
Both of them partook, and actually, it's been said that Alex, I guess in the report, that Alex was one of the more aggressive members, AJ was one of the more passionate.
Wait.
What?
It wasn't just me. It was all of us. We are all responsible.
Right.
Okay. That's why he said this.
And all three of you are out of a job. So all three of you can stay out of a job.
NFL, not for long, because we were all responsible.
Right.
It wasn't just me. It wasn't a two-man show. I'm reading it right here, Lance. Right. It was not a two-man show.
Yeah. I know. It was a three-man show. We also have Carlos Beltran.
No, we all. The word is all responsible. Not just those two and one more. And no. It all responsible.
Okay. The players still have their jobs. You're out of a job. Carlos is out of a job. AJ's out of a job.
Right.
Nothing changes. Who was found guilty of doing stuff in 2018 or 19? Can you tell me in the report who was found guilty of doing stuff in 18 or 19? Nobody. The answer is
18.
Easy.
Yeah, the Red Sox, their equipment guy. What was he again?
It was one lone wolf.
The video guy?
Yeah, the video guy or whatever he was.
Yeah, the Red Sox.
I thought he mopped the floors.
The Red Sox knew
nothing
about
this. And he was the guy that was doing it.
Yeah, they got rid of the bad apple.
Yeah. No. Right. That's all.
No, but the Red Sox didn't do anything. The Astros didn't, and the Yankees didn't. So if the problem with Cora, Beltran, and Hinch is that they all took part in 17, but nothing in the MLB report was found in 18 or 19, frankly, they should go through their suspension this year, and then they should all be eligible to come back.
Eligible to come back.
I think they will.
But Cora's the only one that's going to get a job.
I think AJ will definitely
because they were all responsible, Lance. It's not a two-man show.
I know, and one guy has actually come out and apologized for his role. And his name isn't Alex Cora.
No,
his name is AJ Hinch. Yeah. One guy has completely disappeared. Carlos Beltran.
And Jeff Luno went fighting. He went down throwing everybody under the bus.
Yeah. That's a different. That, I don't think that guy works again. Although I think teams would love to hire him. I think they would love to hire
him. But even more so, I think worse than the whole scandal was the atmosphere that Jeff Luno created. Even more so. We're smarter than you. The smugness of a Jeff Luno organization. It rubbed everybody the wrong way. And that the Astros did this was wonderful for everybody else in baseball, saying, you see, it wasn't you. You weren't smarter. You just cheated. That's the reason you won. That's the only reason. And that's a crock. But I'm just Alex Cora, man, because now he can talk now. We've never heard him before when a Red Sox investigation was going on while he was going, holy crap, am I going to get, oh, look at this. Oh, he said, prove it. The commissioner proved it. I didn't do anything with the Red Sox. See, it was the equipment. It was the janitor. He did it. I didn't know anything about that. Yeah, wow. We did some, but it wasn't a two-man show over there. Now everybody was responsible, not just me and Beltran, you see. Shut up, Alex Cora.
Yeah, I
don't want to hear you.
That whole thing makes me disgusted. AJ Hinch deserves the same chance to come back that any of those guys. If we're a country that you do your crime, you do the time, and then when you come back, you get a chance. AJ Hinch falls in that category too. You know, Alex Cora too, all of them, but they shouldn't be treated differently because they both were part of 17. We know from the report and from others that Cora was one of the masterminds. So was Beltran. Beltran, I don't think, is going to come back. He's got a bunch of money. I just don't think he's going to come back. But I do think that we'll see Hinch back. Hinch has been contrite. He's actually been the only one to come out and try to distance himself from the Astros' apology and give his own and be contrite about it. And I think he feels bad about it. And I think he's a good baseball man. And I think he'll be back. I do. But Alex Cora is also very talented, so I think he'll be back too. And it may be a domino situation where a team is going to have to hire one of them, and then the other one will be given the pass to come back as well.
Yeah, there's a possibility AJ comes back. Luno, no. Beltran, Luno, no. I don't think Beltran. I don't think Beltran will come back.
Well, he made so much money, he doesn't have to.
He really doesn't have to. There's some questions here. That's cold blooded. You didn't take me as your plus one to your dinner double date with Easterby and Bill.
We didn't get plus,
scrub number one.
We didn't get plus one.
Why is Lance so mad at the Texans? Did they criticize his brisket?
Yeah, they haven't seen mad.
Yeah, no.
They haven't seen mad.
Apple Watch was 17. Joe Torre met with Hinch, Luno, Cora, and Dombrowski before 2018 ACS.
Right.
ALCS.
That's what I said.
The Apple 18. Watch was 17. While the Astros were winning, they were doing their Apple Watch stuff.
Yeah, but it wasn't Cora is the point.
No.
Right.
It wasn't Cora.
No, but Apple Watch is totally different.
No, it was the Red Sox. I said it was
Sox. John, I'm getting tired of this narrative that somehow they're the same. The Astros use technology to then relay signals. Okay? They use technology.
Not Apple Watches. That's not technology.
Apple Watch isn't technology.
No. No. What if they use Fitbit? Would have taken like 2 days to get there.
I think the Red Sox would have been commended for working at a disadvantage.
Right, right.
Yeah. Oh, using the Fitbit?
They would have never been found
Apple
guilty.
Apple Watch doesn't even work. It's just what elitists have on their hand. Look how important I am. We're about to go watch Henry Varner III go
hit a flop shot
over this bunker. Mm. Would you like to come with us?
Do you think when Lance left early, everyone laughed behind his back because of his Fitbit?
Yeah.
From the lunch yesterday?
Bill O'Brien said, "Is that the media?"
And that's why Jackie used to be kept talking to you like you didn't know what you're talking about.
Right.
This is a step
tracker.
Can't
trust anybody with a Fitbit.
Yeah. This is a man of the people step tracker is what this is. This is what the people use.
I don't want
not elitist
step tracker.
like you people living in your mansions like, "Look at me with my Apple Watch. I'm going to have it call the butler." Jives, come clean up the trash.
It's Jeeves. Mm-hmm. I don't know who Jives is.
Jives
is the way you talk.
Jive talking. 745 ESPN 97.5.
Can you come give me a foot massage, Harold?
Harold plays golf.
Harold plays golf. He's not inclusive, is he?
No, he is not at all.
He's not inclusive. Okay.
What do you mean not inclusive?
We're making fun of Harold Varner III? No, we don't do that. Not okay.
Why?
Not in today's world.
He's African American. Okay.
Is he really?
Yes.
Golfer?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Harold Varner III.
A racer named Bubba Wallace. Let me get this straight.
Hold on.
Wait a minute.
I didn't know. Before Sunday, I didn't know who Bubba Wallace was.
No, I didn't either.
I mean, Bubba Wallace, I knew who he was. Like, oh, yeah, Bubba Wallace, racer. I didn't actually know him. Hasn't there been a Bubba Wallace for 5 decades?
NASCAR? There's different Wallaces.
Wallaces.
There's a Rusty Wallace.
There's Bubba.
So, Bubba Wallace.
Bubba Wallace.
That makes sense. He's a racer.
Yeah, he's one of the Wallaces. One of the Wallace family.
No, this one's different.
And, yes, I found that out last Sunday.
And Harold Varner III isn't like DL3.
Oh, Harold Varner III.
Yeah.
That shows how much golf I watched
yesterday.
He shares the lead at the Colonial. Pay him some respect.
Yeah. Yeah. Put some respect on his name.
Are you allowed to say that name?
What?
Colonial?
Colonial?
Yeah, the colonies are fine.
Ooh.
Wait.
Don't say the C word.
No?
I don't know. I'm just being safe.
Are you allowed to have a colony?
What are you talking about? The 13 original colonies? We can't say that
just
anymore?
Just call the tournament the C word.
All right. We don't need to respect Harold Varner III. He's plus three in round two already.
Look at Harold.
Trash.
Terrible.
Just call it the C word. Say, this tournament is the C word. Mm. And then people know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll go over real well.
They'll know it's the Colonial.
They won't know that. 747 ESPN 97.5. What he's trying to be is trying to be a champion, and he's not doing very good at it. He's not very good at it today, though, is he? So here's the deal, is if you want to be champion of your money, then you go to champion. I'm hearing all these other places that we're gonna make sure tell us what time you're home and do all this. How about just give me a lower bill? That's what I want. That's really what I want. And when it's all said and done, champion is going to be lower because they're not going to kill you with unbelievable fees that you're just like, what? Now what now? That's what's happening to Champion Energy. So I save money. I know you will save money if you're looking for, and right now with how hot it is, you're going to have your air conditioning on all the time. You will save money too. Go to champion.energy/1560, champion.energy/1560.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Shortest breaks in the world. How about we can't? I can't even get a story. He can't even get a story.
Well, next time you want to get a story in, just let me know. I'll add a promo or something.
No. This is about the people.
Okay.
I'll just have to get bits and pieces of information. Okay.
See? Change. We continue to have some change in the country. The Bachelor.
What?
Cast Matt James as franchise first black male lead.
You see?
It's happening.
All it took was...
What?
An extreme moment in our nation's history.
Are you sure that that's progress?
Well, it's one woman who and one man in the Bachelor's history in terms of minorities being the lead in the shows. I think they've gone. This is going to be their 41st season or so because they split them up and
good
stuff.
Criminy.
The Bachelor's been around a long time.
Really? I'd have to watch one.
It's on your network, John.
I'd have to watch. I know, but it's so embarrassing to me. I can't. Every time it's on, I get like, I'm like, what do you want? And she's like, leave the room, leave, because I don't want to hear your comments about this.
Yeah, he's the first Bachelor in 25 seasons of The Bachelor, but then you have The Bachelorette, and I think they've had one woman of color or black woman in its history
as a lead.
So shout out to The Bachelor for, you know. All it took was...
Now, you will have an African-American man or a black man finding love on a reality show, which I think is
important. Can you imagine the pressure black Twitter is going to put on him to pick a black woman?
Oh, my. I didn't even think about that.
Like, because now The Bachelor only, obviously, the black male lead, they're probably... I don't know how they'll treat the... I don't want to call them the... What do I call the women who are going to... The women. However many women are there. How do they diversify? Are they going to, like, be more African-American woman than normal? What if Matt James is like, yeah, I know I'm here making history, but none of y'all making it past round three. None of y'all. I'm be consistent like all the other bachelors. Hey, I'm not that different from all those guys. I'm just like them.
Oh, my God. This is a no. Well, as long as he picks right.
What do you mean?
As long as he makes the correct choice, Matt James has got a chance
What if he's making the choice for him when the correct choice doesn't conform with whatever other people think the correct choice
is? You know how social media works. You don't live this life for yourself. You live this life for everyone else.
I just hope he's like, look, I'm no different than all the other bachelors. I will pretend like I care because I can't get canceled. But when it comes down to the final rose, my finalists are going to be just like all those other finalists. And see how Twitter treats Matt James. That dude has pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
To be, look, the Bachelor's like, look, we've done our part. Now you do yours.
That is true. 713-780-3776 to get in here on ESPN 97.5. I don't. This had to have come. I don't know. Look at this. This is well done. Do you see? It's Harden versus Kawhi. Harden and Kawhi versus the Warriors. And it is looks like it's professionally done. And I wonder where this came from. James Harden. Quote unquote.
Where would it have come from, John?
I don't. Quote unquote. James Harden didn't show up, and Kawhi Leonard, GOAT status. James Harden, 34.8 points per game against the Warriors. Kawhi Leonard, 28.5 points per game. James Harden, 7 rebounds. Leonard, 9 rebounds. Harden, 5.5 assists. Leonard, 4.2 assists. Harden, 44% field goal. Leonard, 43% field goal. KD missed one game against Harden. KD played 11 minutes against Kawhi in the finals. Rockets losing 6 games in Western Conference. Klay missed game 3, tore ACL in game 6. Jeez, Raps
is
win.
Is this still going on?
Is this something? Okay, I mean, and it's really professionally done.
Here's something. Well, but people can make really
good. It says ball don't stop. What's ball don't stop?
I don't know.
Is that
somebody who loves James, I guess? I don't know. This is my favorite. When you go to the, when you hear people trying to just go to the stat sheet and that's the only indicator that really matters, it is such, you're immediately, you need to immediately know that what you're about to see is irrelevant. Because if you're not going to argue about, for example, points per, does it say shots per game in there?
Well, it's at 44%.
Does it talk about individual possessions and dribbles?
Does it talk about clutch shots?
Yeah. Does it, what context is it for the points?
Does it say 0 for 27?
Points per game is like talking about batting average. Well, it's this batting average. His points per game matters, but here, okay, well, I don't even know the answer to this. I'm just going to go look it up. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be right on this. Let's go take a look at, and what is GOAT status? This is against the Golden State Warriors.
This is that series against the Warriors.
Do they have...
Without KD and without Klay for Game 3 and Game 6.
Do we have...
Well, he got hurt in Game 6.
Do we have shots per game?
Well,
for James, but
won't field goal percentage, they'll tell you 43% and 44%.
Well, no, you got, you know, Kawhi Leonard is asked to defend. Are there any defensive stats? No
stats. No stats.
Okay, Kawhi Leonard defends multiple positions. Kawhi Leonard is not a ball handler, is not a primary lead ball handler. So why would his assist numbers have anything to do with James's? James is a primary ball handler.
Kawhi Leonard sent them to the finals with that shot from the corner, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah. It was a little lucky.
It was a semifinal. It was, sent him to the conference
finals. Sent him to the conference finals.
Yeah,
but that was Game 7, right?
It was a Game 7. Yeah. He misses it to go in the overtime.
It's unbelievable. I don't think that shot would go in a 10,000 more shots. I don't think
it hit the rim about 20 times.
It was literally the perfect. Yeah. It was lucky. Yeah. But he's also won two championships with two different teams. So anytime you start saying, well, that's not GOAT status. Look at James Harden with 34 points and these rebounds. I'm like, golly, how do you play when Nate, your team needs you most? That's what those numbers in a pretty little graphic doesn't show up with that. You know, and look, Kawhi Leonard had help this year. Van Vliet was a killer at times. And that's real. That's real. There was in the last game, Kawhi Leonard wasn't, you know, a dominant force in the last game of the championships this year. But at the same time, those kind of things, that's been going on forever.
James Harden in Game 7 against Golden State, 12 for 29, 41.4%, 2 for 13 from 3. In Game 6, 10 for 24, 4 for 12, which isn't horrible, 33%.
It's bad. It's not good.
No.
Add the two up. That's when Chris Paul...
And he got 30, and he scored 32 points per game.
Is that when Chris Paul was out?
Chris Paul was out.
Okay. So when you had to take over and lead your team to victory,
mm-hmm.
What were his three-point percentage combined in those two games?
6 for 25.
Is that mentioned anywhere that he was under 25? Or he's a little over 25%.
Yeah.
Is that mentioned anywhere in that graphic?
It's a little over 20%.
Six
for 25.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Right.
So... Is that in the graphic?
It's not in there. No. No.
Okay. this argument about you're going to out-argue people with James's stats. James is a stat monster. You're going to. James is a great player and a stat monster. But if you don't even get to a Western Conference Finals, if you can't vanquish the Golden State Warriors, you just have to take the L on that one.
How about in there? Wait a minute. But in their win in Game 5? 98-94.
It was a non-James game.
He was 5 of 21, 0 for 11 for 3.
Yeah.
So the last three games, he was 6 for 36.
Basketball is a sport where your legacy is defined by titles. Everyone knows this.
Yeah.
Why would you use stats to compare him to a guy who's a title winner?
And this is just one side, so one graphic. This isn't really a real argument anyone actually makes.
Well,
right?
And you know, he was 26% from 3 for the whole series.
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. It's not bringing up some pretty graphic that some 17-year-old did about, you know. Like, who no one actually argues that Kawhi Leonard isn't a great player and that James is not a great player.
He's a great player but GOAT status and didn't show up. Well, 26% for 3 in the conference finals sucks.
I got a stat. Two-time finals MVP. One-time final appearance where he was not good. That's the stat I would throw out there. One of them is a 2-time final MVP. Mm-hmm. The other one in a bench role when he made the finals,
wasn't
in the final
good.
Four games was not good.
That's where Elimination James started.
Well, he was very good against the Spurs.
He was a killer.
Not good in the finals.
No.
No, it's the same. Look, you can't put, no matter what stats you come up with or graphics, it can't change what's actually happened that we saw with our real eyes. You can try to statistic it away and take away context and not look at the data that we're talking about, or talk about certain games where this and that happened in clutch times or not showing up in certain games. You know, it doesn't change what's already occurred. It doesn't change it for Kawhi Leonard, who is an elite defender. And once we get in the playoffs, we know that defense and strangling possessions is a very important part of winning in the NBA at the highest level. It's one of the reasons Mike D'Antoni hasn't been able to win at the highest level, because offensively he's usually good, but when the three-point shot stops falling in, he doesn't usually have defense to fall back on unless he has Bezdelic as a head coach, as a defensive coach. And that was a really fun team to watch a couple of years ago when Bezdelic was still there defensively. But all that said, James has a chance. If James wins this year, because they are playing almost an entire year, is that going to get an asterisk put on it? If James were to win a title, if the Rockets were to win a title, or go to a finals, and let's say he plays really well. Does that mean playing well, even if you get eliminated, if you ball out, man, you get a lot of respect for that. You get a lot of respect. That hasn't been James, the ball out, guy. And don't point to his points per game when he gets to the free throw line a zillion times.
No. James, no. Listen.
But that'll count, right? If James wins his title.
Absolutely, it'll count.
A lot of that stuff goes away.
No, what, the 99 Spurs don't count? No, yeah, they count. They count.
Well, no, I think it would count for the Rockets. Yeah. I just wonder if people will try to throw a wet blanket on it.
Some will.
If it wasn't for the pandemic, he would have never. If it's not the Clippers or Lakers, I feel like, or Milwaukee.
Or Milwaukee.
If it's not one of those three teams, I think a wet blanket is ready to be thrown on.
It is.
But it's not fair.
801 ESPN 97.5. What's fair is testosterone.
What's fair is getting what you came to get when you go to Men's T Clinic. And when you come in there for the very first time, they will give you a test. They'll find out what your testosterone levels are. Now, if you are above the norm, they're not going to treat you, because your health and your well-being is the most important thing to them. And whatever your issues are, they may be unrelated to your testosterone. If you are low in testosterone, it could explain, though, lack of energy, a lack of efficiency in your workouts, your inability to convert belly flab to lean muscle mass. Maybe maybe your workouts have stayed the same, but your results are not the same. That is a classic indicator of lower testosterone. A drop in libido, where you just don't feel it anymore. Or maybe you have become a couch potato and you're just in that blasé mindset where you just can't get going. Those are all potential problems. I got to get back in there, because I've got that same blasé, thing going on ever since the pandemic and when they were closed, but they're back open and they're ready for you. And you can get in there and change it all and get back to being the real you. If you have not, the first time I used the testosterone treatments in 2016, lost 22 pounds, and I got in phenomenal shape back in 2016. It really makes a huge, huge difference. So you owe it to yourself to at least look into it if you're having any of the issues I mentioned at mensteaclinic.com. 5 locations in the Houston area. To find one nearest you, go to mensteaclinic.com.